Hi everyone, my name is Don and I'm an alcoholic. And I hope that my internet stays steady because we're having bursts of storms. So you may hear some thunder. My sobriety date, I celebrate this month. August 5th was the day that I was surrendered. And I say it that way because it was the day that I was so exhausted. I just couldn't believe another next time. And I had years of believing that next time would be different, years of believing that I can get in the boxing ring with no gloves, no boxing skills, and beat alcohol. And my mind could not let me see the truth. I truly think for me that I had to get to a place that there was nothing left to try so that I would be willing enough to come into this program and be willing to do what is asked of me. And I realized that once I got here, I heard, well, number one, welcome all the newcomers. And it was the first time that I felt welcomed in a very long time. I was very ashamed because no one understood why I was drinking the way I was drinking. And I didn't understand why I was drinking the way I was drinking. So I isolated because I didn't want anybody else to ask me that question, why, Don? So when I came to Alcoholics Anonymous, I felt like I was giving myself permission to finally discover my truth. I never really know how I'm going to begin my shares, but what I heard, I also gained the ability to hear. I did a lot of listening all my life, but listening didn't necessarily hit my heart. And what I heard today was let go of our old ideas, which is required for me to even consider doing a ninth step. See, it's interesting because we'll come in on step one. We're on step one. We have no idea if we obsess over alcohol, if we crave alcohol, if we're a heavy drinker or a real alcoholic, but yet my mind brings me to step nine and tells me there's no way I'm going to make amends. Well, why can't I stay right where I am and maybe discover if I'm a real alcoholic or just a heavy drinker? Maybe I need to realize that my life, the way I'm living it, like the ABC says, that I can't manage my life drunk or sober. And I'm sitting in the fellowship because my mind is telling me I'm not going to do these steps. I don't care what they say. I'm getting sicker and sicker because I'm right back where I started, trying to live and don't have any idea on how to live because how I was living my life was not working, and I'm going right back to what wasn't working. So perhaps all of that pain and misery and despair was to lead me right here in the foreword to the preface in the big book says, no, the foreword to the first edition, before we get to page one of Bill's story, says, we hope every alcoholic who journeys finds a way to Alcoholics Anonymous. See, I realize I've always been on a journey. I always felt that there was something missing, but I didn't know what it was. I had no idea that my destination was going to bring me right here to these rooms so I can finally discover life, that I can finally discover a life that most human beings never discover until they're about to leave life. So we get to go home while we're alive. And what do we get to do? So, step nine, most human beings, we're not unique. Most people are not going to apologize for what they did because of pride. Now, the thing that's interesting, I don't have a problem treating people like crap, but I don't want to see it in step four. I'm afraid to see what I did. But Donna, you didn't have a problem in the behavior when you was behaving that way, but all of a sudden that you don't want to see it. Because my mind tells me you can't see it. And it makes everything on the spiritual path seem scary. It makes God seem scary. But I realized that something happened to me on August 5th, 2000. A miracle had already occurred, but my mind downplayed it and made me think that I just stopped drinking. The obsession was lifted. How do I know that? Because I read from the first 100 people who wrote this big book said the stockbroker was relieved of his alcoholic obsession. The problem was removed. It disappeared. All of a sudden, my last day of drinking had a different perspective for me. Now, when we do our inventory, we've got a list. All the people that are pissing me off and irritating me and not showing up the way I wanted them to show up, and they hurt me, they abused me. And then something happens in step four. I realize, wait a minute, Donna, these people are just as sick as you. They come from generation after generation of spiritual illness. And then on top of that, I get to see that I'm no more, no less, because in many cases, my behavior matched the same behavior that I was so appalled by. Man, was I humbled by that. So it says in step four, we turn back to the list because that held the key to the future. So wait, I'm going back to the list of the people that I couldn't stand, that I wanted to die, that everybody else is paying. Because see, my deal was if you hurt me and if you didn't apologize, I was holding that hurt. And guess what? All I did was hurt other people. I took it out on other people. So I see all of this behavior. See, my ego can't see me because my ego's too busy focusing on you. Donna, get off the people. Mind your business so you have some business to mind. So I start seeing me and I'm very humble, like, oh my God, this is the best I can do. So I go back to the list. Now, all of a sudden, some of the people that are on the list, I'm going back to them and I'm apologizing. Well, what happened? Because I get to see that that's all we're doing. You hurt me, I'm hurting you back. I need to be have power, so I'm going to power you, and then you want to power me. And then I get to see that I know what it's like to feel that you've been betrayed. I know what it's like to feel dismissed. I know what it's like to be bullied because I felt it when people did it to me. So why can I not go back to people and apologize for my treatment towards them? Because I know what it feels like to be hurt, to be disillusioned, to be let down. Now, the beautiful thing is that I'm scared. But I go back to step two. Either God is everything or God is nothing. What is your choice to be, Donna? And in the beginning, the choice, I had a choice. God is everything or God is nothing. But a choice is two reasonable options. When it comes to God, there is no God is nothing, because every time I think that God is nothing, those are the things that I manage. And those are the things that turn into a big box of crazy. So now I've changed that to God is everything or God is everything. So I know on my own, I don't have the courage to go back to you after denying I hurt you. See, there was a lot of times if you told me that I did something to you, I was going to look you in the eye and say, no, I didn't. I didn't steal from you. If you told me how I made you feel, you know what I would say to you? Oh, get over it. Or I would say, oh, I'm only joking. Lighten up. I was only joking. Lighten up. That's how I dealt with my own behavior. I couldn't own it. But I got to see it in step four. I got to see, well, Donna, wait a minute. You sitting around boo-hoo crying because of the way people treated you, but yet you're not looking at how you treated people. You know how it feels. So now I'm going to do something that most of the human race is not going to do. There are people, there are family members that can have an argument over a card game and never talk to one another again because both people have too much pride to admit that they were wrong. But see, now we're in the world of the spirit. And step seven, see, when I do step seven, I think I shared it when I was here on step seven. I do step seven and I walk through a doorway. I'm on one side of the doorway with my objectionable behavior. And because I don't want to be this anymore, I have the anonym, which is a spiritual principle. God, please remove my distrust from people and show me how to be trustworthy. God, please remove my need to feel superior and enable me to see I'm no more, no less. And I go down this list of my objectionable behavior, the best that I can do on self-will. And then I say the seven-step prayer and I walk through the door because, see, now, God, I'm giving you all of me. Because the proof is in the pudding. I have no idea on how to live. I have no idea how to treat people. This is a whole new way of life, and my thinking wants to negotiate surrendering. I'm willing to let God have all of me, but my mind negotiates it and says, but then what? What's that going to look like? But what if you don't get the things that you want in life? And then I start getting panicky, and all of a sudden, God is nothing again. But this practice, practice, practice. How do you get to Wimbledon? How do you get to Carnegie Hall? Practice, practice, practice. How do you deepen your oneness with God? And really, all we're doing is being one with our true selves within, living from the within, not living from the without. And so I see that there's been a shift in my thinking in step four. I see that all of a sudden there's certain behaviors that I don't need to, I don't have the need to lie. I used to lie like this. If you asked me a question and said the word right, oh, Don, you read that book, right? Please don't add the word right, because then I'm going to lie and say, oh, yeah. It roll off my tongue. And I know that I'm lying, but I have too much pride to admit that I lied. So I sit there with the lie. And now I can't ask any questions because I told you I already knew. I told you I already read the book. So I get to see that I have stopped my own growth. So today, sometimes my ego still wants to lie. But today I can say, you know what? Wait, let me time out. I just lied. I really didn't read that book. And then I can be inquisitive about life. Then I can connect with you and honor the fact that you know something I don't know. See, I always didn't want you to know more than me. So all of this is happening. And I get to step nine. So I have this list, and I got to go back to my inventory. That's why I don't know why people burn their inventory. I got to go back to the inventory to remind myself of who I harmed and how I harmed. And I do index cards. There's a number of us that probably had the same teachers. And index cards are pretty handy because then they're manageable. And I put the name of the person on the card, the harm, their phone number. See, nowadays, it's not even just phone number. Do I know them on Facebook? Can I reach them out on Facebook? And the harm. And I imagine myself with God. Because on my own, my ego is not going to let me go back to you. And I imagine myself with God making this amends. And I do the easy ones first, because then that gives me freedom. I make an appointment. I've had people that I could not find up here. I was standing on 59th Street in Columbus Circle, the train station, busy platform. Somebody said, Jonas, see, my name is Jonas. If you say Donna, I'm not going to look up because Donna is very common. But Curtis said, Jonas. I looked, it was Curtis. I had been trying to find Curtis. And when I saw him, I asked permission. See, this is not about because I want to make the amends. I got to ask for permission. Are you willing to make the amend, me make the amends to you? I wasted so much time. Oh, I got 10 minutes. See, when I get to the later steps, I spend so much time on the previous steps. I hear I'm at 9, I got 10 minutes. So I have these cards, and there's some that I'm really afraid. There was one woman, Cookie, she and I were best friends. I was so insensitive to other people's feelings. So we used to go to clubs a lot, and I used to think I was this worldly woman that, you know, after the party, we'd be at somebody's house, and I would change, disrobe in front of her man, never realizing how does this woman feel me undressed in front of her boyfriend. I wasn't into him, but I just thought I was this worldly chick that I'm just so free-spirited, never cared. I had to pray to make that amends to Cookie. When she agreed to make the amends, and so the thing is, I let them know the harm as from what I can surmise, and then I asked them, is there anything else I left out? See, because I really don't know how my harm really hurt you. And I sit there and I look them in the eye. See, I never looked people in the eye. I was always ducking and dodging and I'm looking them in the eye. See, because I'm walking with God, I'm not walking by myself. And I asked her, I said, Cookie, is there anything else that I've done that I'm not clear on? Oh, boy. She told me, based on how I was around her boyfriend, that she didn't trust women for a very long time. I bet. Man, was I humble. Certain amends, unless it's not, if it's somebody that abused me, I'm not going to ask them, what can I do to make it right? Because I'm not going to give them that kind of power over me. But I asked her, is there anything that I can do to make it right? And she said, Donna, just start respecting women. And I did. There were people that, men that I dated that weren't available, didn't care if they had a girlfriend. Who cares? And I knew that I didn't go back to the women. Now, they might have known that their husband was being just cheating, but it wasn't for me to go back to this woman. And so what I did, I used surrogates. I used a woman who I knew was in a marriage that was solid. And I asked her, would she be willing to stand in and be a surrogate because of my treatment towards married women? And she said, and I read her the harms, how I interfered with other people's marriages. See, because all a man had to tell me was that, oh, you know, my wife, she sleeps on the couch. I was going to believe anything because I wanted what I wanted. I didn't even realize that perhaps the money that I wanted this man to spend on me was taking money away from his kids, money that could be feeding those kids. You know, you got to buy me some clothes. Selfish and self-centered. And so I did that. I did my amends to happily married women. And I sat there and I, this whole thing is ego deflation. That's why we get free. Those old ideas that I'm not good enough, that I'm ashamed of my behavior. See, I realized that I stopped being ashamed of my behavior because I got to see that relying on self-will, my ego doesn't care about your feelings. All you are to me is something I need, which is selfish because you're supposed to live your life, but I want you to take care of me. Well, Donna, why should everybody love you when you don't even act like you love you? I had a lot of financial amends. I lived in South Bend, Indiana. I slunk out of South Bend. I don't know if slunk is a word, but I slunk out. How I got out of South Bend, powerful. A woman who I worked in a fine dining restaurant, and a woman and her husband, they didn't really know me, but they watched my downfall. Her and her husband rented a U-Haul truck, drove me from South Bend, Indiana to New York. I packed all my stuff. I left the apartment owing that landlord rent. I sent him an email because I didn't know, I didn't have his phone number. And he says, you know what? If you pay me within 7 days, I will let go of any legal fees. Now, of course, my ego, see, this is why sponsorship is so key, because I was thinking, okay, maybe I give them half. As they say, I was dope fiending. I can have good intentions and still get in my way. And Rashid said, do you have all the money? And I said, yes, because really what I'm doing, I'm giving back his money. I'm giving the universe what's theirs. I sent him a money order, and all of my financial amends I paid in money orders. See, because I wanted people to trust me. See, what I used to do, I was real slick, or thought I was slick. Back then, when we would pay with checks, I would purposely not sign the check. See, because I got to manipulate on how I'm going to get the money, because all my money was going to drinking and drugging. So I put the check in the mail, not signed. So it would take like 3 days for you to get the check. Then you see the check. Oh, shit. the check's not signed. So now you call me and I got another 3 days. So that's why I'm saying August 5th, 2000, I was getting tired of all that manipulation. And I knew that I wanted people to trust me in my amends. So I sent them money orders because at that point, it really didn't matter if they cast a check or not. Once I sent them that money order, that amends was done. It didn't matter if they checked it, cashed it, lost it. When I sent him the money order, he said, "You know what? This money came at the most perfect time." He had given somebody, a painter that was painting the outside of his buildings, money to paint his properties, and the guy split. We don't know how God is going to use us in the amends. So my amends, giving this man the money, was just exactly what he needed because somebody had ripped him off. I have stories and stories and stories about amends like that. Another thing that we're so afraid of making amends, see, really what we don't even recognize is how God uses us. The third step says, who should bear witness to God's power, God's love, and God's way of life? That's who shows up when you make amends. People are looking at you going, wait a minute, who are you? You're the same person. You get to demonstrate what a spiritual life is like. You get to demonstrate what relying on power looks like. It looks like courage. It looks like compassion. It looks like empathy, especially when you have the nerve to ask them, is there anything I left out? Can you tell? And then another question I ask is, tell me how this harm hurt you. And I sit there. And as I'm sitting there listening, oh my God, my ego is getting crushed. That's why those nine-step promises come. If you look at the nine-step promise, and you know the wording, it says things are slipping away. We will know peace. No matter how far down the scale we've gone, we realize that our experience can benefit others. We get to see that everything that we went through is used to be of service. We know pain, misery, and despair like most people can't imagine. So we can have empathy. I can't have empathy when I'm selfish and self-centered. We will gain interest in our fellows. Are you kidding me? The only use you were for me is what I can get from you. And I was keeping score. If I did something for you, trust and believe, I wasn't going to forget that
2 minutes.
because you owed me. Our outlook in life will change. Instead of needing, 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 I suck the air out of the universe. We get to give. The biggest piece, we will suddenly know how to handle situations which used to baffle us and suddenly realize that God is doing for us. We suddenly realize after a whole lifetime of ignoring the idea of God, feeling separated from one another, all of a sudden, as we start deepening steps 10 and 11, we realize that there is a oneness. It's always been a oneness. I get to see the reason why judgment and envy and jealousy and competition was on every fourth step was because I was showing up to life separated from you. But when I start recognizing and experiencing oneness, I can see the separation. So please don't be afraid of step nine. It is one of the most freeing steps. And trust and believe when you have a willingness. Oh, here's another thing. I know I got 2 minutes. Another thing, you know what else is also ego crushing? The people that don't want to be bothered with you. I had an employer. Mike was like, hell no, I never want to see you again. That made me realize I hurt that employer. So I talked about him. Oh my God, that was so disrespectful to that man. He didn't want anything to do with me. That crushed my ego just as much as if I had went and made the amends to him. So I will see you guys next week on step 10, where it says this thought brings us to step 10. What thought is that? The thought that suddenly God is doing for us what we can't do for ourselves. Suddenly we finally realize that there's been this power in our lives, all of our lives. Thank you.